going to have a guest speaker. I don't know how many of you know Brother Chuck Debelak. If you're younger and from the campus, you might not know him that well. So I'd like to let you know, at one point in time, I was young.
Oh, really?
I was about William's age, right over there, the Buckeye cap.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these are exactly what I don't want you to hear this morning. Okay, there was a whole hive of young folks in the Cleveland area at the end of the 80s. And we looked for shepherding, we looked for mentoring, we looked for help, we looked especially for role models. And Brother Chuck Debelak was there. You know, praise the Lord, he was there for us, and he provided all these things. And we learned quite a bit from him at the time. And even today, Chuck is still somewhat a role model and a mentor to me. I have a telephone relationship with him, at least. And this morning, he's come in to talk a bit about the Christian life being a learning life.
Amen.
I didn't stop learning back in the 80s, and I think Chuck would agree that he hasn't stopped learning either. So if you'd like to come, Chuck, and share some things with us.
Yeah, I'm a little older on the outside, but I'm still fresh inside. I kind of have to apologize. You know, we're supposed to have these, continue these messages for parenting, you know, and for a number of circumstances, I haven't been able to get away. And then the brothers proposed, how about Sunday night? Come down at Sunday night, 6, 7 o'clock. Afterwards, you can drive back home. John must have been thinking I'm still about 40. You know, I teach full-time. I teach math in middle school. I'm an administrator of a school. I'm up at 5 in the morning. So I said, John, I am given to the Lord and to the saints, but that one will kill me. I'm in the category. My wife and I get home from work, and we just wait for when it gets to be 9 o'clock. That means we're close to bedtime. Those of you who are in your late 50s understand exactly what I'm talking about. You middle school students are thinking, what's this old fogey doing here talking to us about? So anyway, I'm really glad to be back here this morning. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. And we're going to read just one verse from here. Chapter 4, verse 20. It's a little bit out of context, but we don't have time this morning to cover this whole section. Let me read it to you. Okay, it says, But, in other words, there's a contrast. But you did not so learn Christ. It's an interesting phrase. Not learn about Him, not learn from Him. You didn't learn Him. You didn't do it this way. In other words, things changed. Before you were a believer, you had one way to approach life. That was the former manner of life. And there was a way to learn things, and there was a way to gain knowledge. And out of that knowledge, you live. You know, who we are, how we walk, how we live, what's our value system, what's our morality, what's our ethics. We learn these things. But when you got born again, something fundamentally changed.
Amen.
The way to do things changed.
Amen.
And so the Bible has this language. From now on, you need to do something different. It's called learn Christ.
Amen.
Not learn from Him. See, a teacher, you learn from. Oh, I learned from so-and-so. I had that person for a professor. I had this person for a teacher. I learned from them. This is different. You learn that person.
Exactly.
Come to this in a little bit, okay? All right. Now, just three things I'd like to fellowship with you this morning in relationship to this, and I think it'll be helpful. First of all, what are we doing being a Christian? Where are we headed? What's our goal? And I think the New Testament is more than clear. Even an unbeliever could tell you objectively what the New Testament tells us. The New Testament tells us that we are to become like Him.
Amen.
That's our goal. It's said in a lot of ways. You know, Paul says we're changing into His image. The Gospel of Matthew says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Don't be good, but be as perfect as your heavenly Father. In other words, to be like Him. Romans says we're going to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Ephesians says the same thing. I think later in this book, in chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God. So what are we called to be? We're called to be like Him.
Amen.
Now I'd like to extend that a little bit, because that can be really vague. Well, you know, my gosh, how can I be like Him? I read the Gospels, the sort of person that He was, the things that He did. I'm not like that. Well, you have to sort of trace through the New Testament the types of human attributes and human virtues that are listed. And then I would say this. He wants us to be like Him. And listen closely. To the life and in the life that He has given us. Okay, let me say that again. How do you know you're becoming a Christian? What does God want in your Christian life? Well, He wants you to be like Him. How? Be a great leader, do some great work. No, listen. He wants you to be like Him in the life that He has given you.
Amen.
You say, oh, I'm just a machinist. Yeah. I'm just a carpenter. Uh-huh, that's right. I'm a teacher. Yeah. Yeah, well, these are practical things. These aren't essential spiritual things. No, I'd like to turn that all around this morning. I'd like to tell you, God wants you to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. Just like Him.
Amen.
In the life He has given you.
Amen.
You know, most believers say, well, some wife would say, I'm just a housewife. The Lord would say, that's right. What more do you want? Well, I'm just an engineer. Okay, what more do you want? And I used to support this. If you trace the New Testament, we can't this morning, otherwise it'd be worth it. And you can read through the New Testament this way. Check on the types of expressions of being a Christian. Kindness. Goodness. Goodness is in this book. Gentleness.
Amen.
Compassion.
Amen.
Tenderheartedness.
Amen.
Mercy.
Amen.
Warmth. No corrupt word proceeding out of your mouth. All you ever say is things that build people up.
Amen.
Does that sound like anybody you know?
No.
I know one person like that. Jesus.
Amen.
That's why this verse says, you have not so learned Jesus. Learn Christ as the truth is in Jesus. What good are these virtues if you're a great worker or something, somebody profound? No. When do these virtues mean something? They mean something when a person is struggling to know Christ, to live Christ, to express Christ in the life God has given them. I don't know why you have your life like that. You know, young people sometimes that are disrespectful, I'm sure it's nobody in here, but they always complain, why is it like this? How come I got this kind of dad and this kind of mom? And how come we can't have a better car? How come we can't have more money? How come we don't have a better house? Why don't we go on vacation? Why? How come I can't have this? You go blame God. I have no understanding why. Go blame God. He has ordained your life.
Amen.
You didn't get second best from God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the religious mind will say, oh, well, you know, your job, you just got to take care of it to go do spiritual things. Deep, profound, important, spiritual things. To this day, I still wonder what they are. You know what's spiritual? Gentleness. Kindness, mercy, compassion,
amen.
Tenderheartedness,
amen.
Understanding,
amen.
A growing knowledge of the Lord,
amen.
Righteousness toward all men in all things.
Amen.
This is the person of Christ.
Amen.
So what value is that? Well, I want to show you one more verse on it. Chapter 3 in Ephesians. Just turn back a little bit. Chapter 3. Verse 10. See, the problem we have, we could understand if our life became important in a spiritual realm. Somebody asked you to become a missionary, or asked you to become a great preacher, or asked you to do some kind of evangelical work. We can understand the importance of that. Because that's the way we do things. If you're a major in history, you can understand somebody who has a PhD in history. Wow. Or if you're an engineer and you know somebody who has a PhD in engineering, you say, wow. Or if you're an athlete and someone's got a tryout for the Browns, well, you may not think that much about that right now. Okay, maybe the Steelers. You say, wow. That's how human minds think, you see. We always think of the people who reach at the top and somebody who's special. And some God doesn't think that way. You see, His eyes are on all the small things no one else cares about. But I want to show you two parts or two factors or two entities that your life is tremendously important. Whether you are a student, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a professional, whether you are a tradesman, whether you are a housewife and a mother. What brings glory to the Lord are in the small, hidden, fine details where Christ in His humanity is lived in your life. Amen. You say, well, who cares about that? Well, I'll tell you, none of you are going to care much about the real lessons I have learned from the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. And Doug, nobody's going to be interested in your life. But I'm going to show you two entities who are. Verse 10 says, in order that now, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. That's us. That's all the believers. Let me tell you what happens. Mothers, you know, every mother, I always admire mothers. I think they're the greatest overcomers because no more reason to have a nervous breakdown than to be a mother. You're tired, you're exhausted, and all you get are demands. And somehow your husband feels you don't have a job. They just rub it in, you know? So the Lord looks at things a little bit differently, and so do the principalities and powers. Yeah, you know, you can be close to a nervous breakdown. You can be close to blowing your top, and you probably do frequently. I can't take this. Well, you know, to those who learn something from Christ, and I'll cover a little bit how in a little bit, but most without Him or without learning, the kind of reactions you have, just like every other human being, every other mother, same thing. What makes the difference? We begin to realize it's in those points. That thing, your husband's not even going to know what happened at 10 a.m. The other kids in the family, you've got one at home, they don't even know what's going to happen at 8 a.m. Everybody's gone. But somehow, you had a little visitation from the Lord in the way you spoke to your children or in the way you conducted yourself that morning with the things that you had to do. Everyone else, someone without Christ, without learning Christ, would have their reaction. I'm mad, I'm upset, whatever else goes with it. Just a normal human being reacting to a high-pressured situation. Being on the job would be the same way. You brothers ever pressured at work? If you're not, you don't have a job. That's the problem. Pressured to death. Deadlines. Things have to be done. You have to get along with people you don't want. Pressure, pressure, pressure. How does everybody else react to it? Complain, upset, maybe even say something out loud. Okay, to those who realize, what am I doing on this earth? I'm not like everybody else. I'm not an unregenerated Gentile. Amen. I am a child of God. Amen. And it's in those situations. Those are the situations nobody sees. But you know who sees? The principalities and powers see. Amen. Because in another environment, they can go to God. Amen. And they can say, look how I shamed your people, Lord. Look at the way He's reacting. Look at the way she's reacting. Look at the kind of life he's living. Well, says, I don't have much to say. On the contrary, someone interacts with Christ in their life, on their job, at home, with the and they get checked. Right? Have you ever started yelling at your children? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. You yell at your children, and you just have a little check. Shut up. The Lord has that kind of voice with me once in a while. Shut up. Oh, at that moment, you just, oh, Lord, sorry. Nobody else sees. I can't go to a meeting and say, Lord told me to shut up, brothers, praise the Lord. You'd say, brothers, sit down. Let's hear something important. But you know, in heaven, there's a little bit of glory God displays over the evil one. Satan, you see that man Chuck down there? The one that you stirred up in his flesh, be so angry, to go overboard in the way he rebuked his kids, where he got so upset with. Did you see what happened to him, Satan? He repented. Amen. He got humbled. Amen. And he told his son, I'm sorry. Amen. And he told his wife, honey, I'm sorry, could we go out and have a cup of coffee and talk? Amen. Satan, come here. Yeah, maybe took him by the back of the neck. That's how I like to look at it, you know? Look, to all the principalities and powers, that he could tell him, you know what my wisdom is? I took a fallen, corrupted, virtuous human being and made him act like the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now there's nothing to say. There's nothing to boast. There's nothing to brag about. You have to realize God looks at our life. This is our playing field, so to speak. If I were to use a sports analogy, brothers and sisters, your life is God's playing field. Amen. That's where he wants to enter in. Amen. To bring those beautiful virtues of his son right into your life. Amen. Yes, we may never know the significance until the day we see him. Mm-hmm. Then there may be a long story to tell of what he did. In fact, that's a good way to go to this point on learning Christ. The word manthano, which is the Greek word here for learning, means you learn through experience. You pass through some situation, and in that situation, you learn him. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 5 when it says, the Lord learned obedience through the things which he suffered. It's the same word that's used in Revelation chapter 14 when the overcomers are singing a new song which no one can learn. You know, we think about overcoming. Let me tell you, overcomers have learned. They have learned in the quietness of their life when there's nothing to brag about spiritually. There's nothing to report about. There's no accumulation of knowledge. There's nothing we can display. They've learned. In the hiddenness, the quietness of the life that God has given them to bring forth the beautiful virtues of Jesus Christ. Amen. So they sing a new song, and it says, no man can learn that song. Amen. I like this. No one else can learn this song. Only you can learn it. Amen. I can't teach it to you. Lee Chung can't teach it to you. I can't learn Lee Chung's song. Amen. He can't learn. I can point the direction. I can't tell you what to do in this. There is a learning of this person that is personal. It is spiritual. It is hidden. It is mysterious. It's hard to put your handle on. You go, so learn Christ. Amen. We like these books. I know every time I have messages, I go to visit some place and I give a message about how to raise your children unto the Lord. Oh boy, do the pens and spirals come out ready to take notes. How do you do it? How? Oh, we just love that. Can you tell me how to be a better husband? Can you tell me how to be a better wife, a better father, a better son? How can I be a better businessman or a better employer or employee? We just want to know how. Things changed when we got born again. Amen. It doesn't work that way anymore. Amen. There's an inner voice. Amen. You know, Hebrews calls it the voice of today. Today, if you hear my voice. Amen. There's a voice that's very distinct to you. Amen. The Bible has terms for it like the anointing, the sense of life, the witness from within. There's lots of names for it, but you really can never put your handle on it. You can't quite get a grasp of it. It's sort of like that story. I love this story. Those two fellas on the way to Emmaus after the Lord's resurrection. I want you to be impressed with how corny this story is. They're walking along and Jesus in resurrection joins in with them. And they're saying, so he says, hey, so what's been going on? Jesus tells them. And these two, what do you mean? Don't you know what's going on? Oh, my goodness. And they start to give him history. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Jesus is saying, yeah, really? Wow. And he's the center of the whole story. He's saying, wow, that's really something. And, yeah, you know, I could just picture them saying, well, you know, who is this guy? Where's he been? You live in a cave or what? And then the Lord goes. And they go back. And that evening, while they're breaking bread, they both go, that was the Lord. I'll be darned, that was the Lord. Now think about this for a second. It's the same way I think it was in John. When they're fishing and they see somebody up on the shore. Yeah. And it's like, look, you've been with this guy for 3 years, 3.5 years. Wouldn't you know him when you saw him? But they don't. You know, it's only in retrospect they say, oh, that's the Lord. Then Peter panics. Think about that for a second. If you've been with somebody for 3.5 years and then they go away, wouldn't you know them tomorrow if they showed up? First look, you say, that's Lee Chung. That's Bill. That's John. I can see that right. They didn't. Doesn't that bother you? Well, what did he look like? I think the Lord was teaching the disciples a great thing and teaching us a great thing. You can learn spiritual rules and lessons and principles and practices just like you can learn history or geometry or trigonometry or English literature. You can learn it the same way. You learn, you memorize, you absorb, you synthesize, you put ideas together. But when it comes to this person, Jesus, it's elusive because it's inward, it's personal. It's mysterious. It's spiritual. So it's just like the case of those two men going to Emmaus. Little things occur. Of course, most of the time, especially, and I don't mean to say this to be offensive, but we're all like this. We all tend to be very religious. We are marching so fast with our religious world. The Lord's just trying to speak. He's trying. Chuck, Chuck. I want to talk to you about you and your wife. Lord, I can't. Lord, I have no time. I'm serving you. Don't bother me. Now, Chuck, I'd like to talk to you about being with your mom, being with your dad. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you about being with your brothers. You haven't been with your brother. Lord, please, don't you realize what I'm doing here? I'm serving you with all my heart. You know, I think the Lord must scratch his head. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's right. You're serving me your way with your kinds of things. But the lessons the Lord would teach. I like the word Selah. You know Selah in the Psalms? You know what that word means in its broader? Stop and reflect. Just stop. Usually we're too busy serving the Lord to stop. In fact, sometimes I think the longer you're a Christian, the more you've accumulated knowledge, Amen. The less you know the Lord's voice anymore.
Amen.
Sorry, that's a little bit offensive. I've personally learned this. Last 6 years, the Lord has taught me this. The longer you're a believer, you accumulate what you know. You think you're something. You think you've accumulated. You're able to do things for the Lord. And the real essence is, hard to hear his voice anymore. You know what he cares about? All the little things religious people like me, I put a big finger on me, not on you, on me. Religious people like to accomplish. They like to make things happen. They like to be known. That's what religious people do. The Lord cares about my children and me. He cares about me and my wife. He cares about the kind of job I do every single day at work. You know, I teach all the way from, I do little things with first and second graders all the way up to eighth graders. I teach math in middle school. How many times the Lord has touched me about how I interact with a third grade classroom. Now, does that seem deep and profound to you? Now, if I told you 10 years ago I had a conference in Mexico City, you'd say, oh. If I tell you the Lord touched me about how I interact with a few kids in my third grade class, what do you think of that, Doug?
Not that impressive.
But let me tell you something. On that day, the principalities and powers knew something happened. The little voice of the Lord in our daily life, the Lord wants to teach us who He is.
Amen.
You see, we're us. How you and I do things is our personality. It's our culture. It's our history. And it's always going on. We keep learning new things about how to conduct our life. This is the 21st century. 21st century is filled with new technologies. You do things differently than you did 25 years ago. People think differently. How we receive lots of things from without. But it's the Lord who wants to do His speaking in all of the ways we live our life. Starting today. I'll ask a question rhetorically. How many, when you got up this morning, did you think, wow, Lord, who are you today? Who are you today? I'm going to have a meeting with brother so-and-so at 8 o'clock maybe. I'm going to go to the meeting then. And then in the afternoon, Lord, I have plans to have dinner with somebody. Lord, who are you today? Or my son has got a soccer game. I want to go to the soccer game. When I take him to that soccer game, Lord, who are you today? No, I'm afraid the longer we've been a Christian, we just have a right and wrong for everything. Principles and rules. What's right now? What's right then? How do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? And so, then you can't hear the Lord's voice. You know what is the characteristic of someone who hears the Lord's voice? Lowly and meek.
Amen.
How do you raise your son? I don't know. I have to pray a little bit on this one. Amen. How about on your job? What kind of an employee are you? Well, it just depends on the day. I've always got to seek the Lord, the type of work I should do, how thorough I should be, how I associate with my colleagues. To God, our whole human life. That's why I use this phrase at the beginning. He wants you to learn Him in the life He has given you.
Amen.
Don't jump out of that life. Don't jump out of that life and live by someone else's principles or by your own principles. Don't jump out of that life to live something that you consider to be a high religious life. No, what is high to the Lord is what happens tomorrow morning when you roll out of bed. That's the beginning of learning Christ. His speaking, His inward voice is addressing the fine points of our human living. To talk to us, who is He at this time? Who is the Lord? I always thought that I don't know if you're familiar with the holy convocations in the book of Leviticus. You know, you have your morning consecration. You had to offer the burnt offering. Then every Sabbath day, you had to offer two. One for Sabbath day and one for the end of the week. Then on the new moon, you had to offer the daily sacrifice, the Sabbath sacrifice, and the new moon sacrifice. You know, burnt offering represented a giving yourself to the Lord, a consecration. Then you had the feasts. You know, you'd have the yearly feasts that you would offer again. Those are very significant. I'm thinking just the fact that there is every day you offer the burnt offering. You know, when you just think of a religious life, the only time you have to gear up is when there's some sort of public demonstration. Then you gear up. Not with God. When do you gear up with God? You gear up every day, Lord. This is a new day. This is a new day. And Lord, I want to learn You. I don't want to be the same person I've always been. Another symptom of sometimes when you've gotten old and you've gotten religious, you're not excited about the Lord anymore. You're excited about events. You're excited about the next big thing that's going to happen. But the whole world isn't like today. Today, the Lord will be brand new to me.
Amen.
Let me tell you, your joy, your happiness at the Lord should be greater today than when you first got saved.
Amen.
How many people still boast about, oh, I wish it could be like back then. Oh, I wish it was like the day I got saved. They're not saying, you have totally missed the voice of the Lord. The Lord will remake the enthusiasm and joy of your salvation every single day.
Amen.
Not necessarily enthusiastic, jumping up and down, but the sense of awe when you discover Jesus Christ again. You know, sometimes, many times when the Lord teaches us things, this is another difficult thing. When you've been a Christian a long time, you're so familiar with right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong. You can't hear His voice. And He has to come in and change some direction. That's why that speaking to the two on Emmaus, it came out of nowhere. Lord, you're like this? That's the way I felt that one morning when I was having my time with the Lord. And I had a little problem in that class I just told you about. And I got such a speaking from the Lord. This morning, when you go to that class, you do this. And, you know, I sort of felt like, could you say that again? What do you care about how I treat some third grade little boy? What do you care? And this is just the Lord's voice to me. I care a lot. Don't worry about the ramifications. That's your little religious world, Chuck. That's what I want you to do. And there was a certain action I needed to take. And you know what? That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ah, the feeling, the sense of, Lord, you are so great. What you care about. Not too long ago, I went to somebody's, some sister's mother had passed away. And the mother was not necessarily, I wouldn't say not even at all spiritual, and what we would consider spiritual. And neither was the daughter that much. But relating the last few months of life. And we all prayed as the mother was fading. This sister had a feeling she needed to spend a lot of time with her mother. And it was a time for healing in the family. A lot of, you know, children had been fighting. You probably are aware of something like this. You know, fights come between brothers or sisters, and here you are 60 years old, and they're still there. And the Lord used the last few events. Nothing spectacular came up, but the whole family got healed through that, through the prayer. You know, and I walked away, and I thought, Lord, why do you care about that? Do any of you care? No, I don't think so. What significance does it have in the universe, Lord, that something so sweet occurred? Something, and I realized, Lord, I have no idea who you are. I was so humbled by that. To him, it was important. Why his hand would have moved with that sister to bring her family together, use the impending death of the mother to do something so beautiful. It bothered me for a while because it doesn't fit into your plan. You know, I remember when I was young, I just thought, we're marching for God's economy. And we knew how to do it. Didn't we know how? We sure did. Something went wrong along the way or somewhere. But we knew how. So you're plowing forward, how to do things. And an event like this is how the Lord shows up. This is who you are, Lord? You care about that? Well, think about it for a moment. Do you think in eternity we'll ever be able to plumb how great Jesus Christ is? No end. No end. But here in this world, this is the danger of us maturing. And I warn all you young people, I really liked your song this morning. Your singing was great, fresh. You could feel the Lord's presence. This is really a special time of singing. So actually, they're in a great advantage in this learning Christ, hearing His voice. Because they don't know anything. They just have a feeling, oh, let's do this. And we're thinking, well, I got 16 reasons why you shouldn't. Only one that says you should. We're like, we fathers are like that, the older you get. Oh, just load it down. Just load it down. And the admonition in Matthew chapter 11 when the Lord says, take your yoke upon you and learn of me. Same word, learning. For I am lowly. I'm lowly and meek. And you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because that is where Jesus will meet us. And that's where he will become thousands and thousands of times greater than you ever imagined he was. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'd sure like to ask everybody who's been saved more than 10 years whether you've ever been bored as a Christian. Don't raise your hand. Just tired of the whole thing. This is, you got distracted. You got distracted from the voice of the Lord. And whatever you thought, whatever discouragements came, let me tell you, I don't care what happens. I don't care what is ever going on. He is speaking to you.
Amen.
We need an inner recalibration. You look at every day, arise in the morning and say, Lord, I want to learn of you.
Amen.
We often use the term, and this is the last thing I'll share, we often use the term a seeker of the Lord. Right? That's where we sort of, I know I fashioned myself a seeker of the Lord when the Lord first turned my heart to him years ago. That means you're pursuing him, hungry for him. That has a good side and a bad side. The bad side, the hunger is good. The bad side is he just loves that attitude. When you seek him, he opens something. You see something more of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and you grab it. You're excited. You can be excited. Sometimes you just find a very restful peace. It's, the outward manifestation is secondary. But it came about because you sought him. Sort of like the Shulamite who's in the king's chambers, and she sees the Lord and she wants to pursue after him. But after a while, especially as you learn things, you kind of know how the game is played. So it's not seeking anymore that you do. It's carrying out what you feel is right. The seeking's gone. The pursuing's gone. And then the joy's gone. The enthusiasm is gone. I often thought, you don't have to worry a whole lot about the gospel when you are rediscovering Jesus Christ. You can't wait to tell other people about him.
Amen.
It's not merely a meeting you're bringing somebody to or to some conversion experience. You have met the most wonderful person who comes to you every day.
Amen.
And you just want to tell other people about him. You know, I teach in a very, very diverse religious setting. You know, we have Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Catholic and evangelical Christians. And there's just about no way to just go talk about Jesus. The reason why is because everyone has a certain idea who he is. But what we have, both my wife and I have found, you know, when we experience him, most of the things he gives us to do is reaching out to people in a very, very, very human way.
Amen.
Kindness to them, understanding, gentleness, give them of your time. How many times little doors open up just to tell them about what we know? Because you're not pushing anything. You're sharing the very person that you love and experience every day.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you. Let's start all over again.
Amen.
Not just today. I'm not here to do a revival thing. Okay? I don't mean that at all. I mean every day's new. Every day, to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to learn who you are today.
Amen.
And maybe you're at a point in life where you need a Sabbath day offering. You know what that is? Lord, how about this week? Who should I be? Who are you, Lord? Maybe you're at a point in life, you need a new moon. Lord, I don't know. The way I've been going on, I don't quite feel it that smooth. Lord, what are you doing to me? You know, don't you get that feeling sometimes? I don't know, something about my job or what I'm doing. I don't know, something doesn't quite fit. Lord, who are you now?
Amen.
Another direction.
Amen.
Or maybe you're at a point where it's a yearly consideration, a major change in what you're doing. Then you ponder, Lord, who are you now?
Amen.
And who am I in you?
Amen.
Amen.
I really hope
you brothers and sisters all, if you're already pursuing, praise the Lord. If you forgot, get back on track.
Amen.
But we have got quite a Savior.
Amen.
We have got quite a Lord, and it needs us to begin afresh to learn Christ.